Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
We come in peace. We come in peace. We come in peace. We come in peace. We come.
We do come in peace. This is Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show and thanks to catching up for an awesome show before us. Yes, so aliens and us tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream. Mitch.
We do come in peace, and this is the relation between aliens and us, the theme of tonight's show. And so that's going to be looking at a couple of really funny things like Martians and like alien invasions, aliens attacking, and alien love, like a lot of alien love, I guess.
Interplanetary love.
Interplanetary love.
So we'll be probing away for that one. And we've also got someone special in the studio, and that's Emma. Emma Beddoes, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And of course, you're going to help us you know, dive in and have a look. I was going to say something else there, but I won't. I've done enough of that already. If you've been to the Facebook page, you've probably seen the picture Mitch put up.
I put up that picture.
It's very cute. You can head to our Facebook page. Just put Sci-Fi and Scream in the little
search
Facebook
bar.
Thing.
And that's if anyone didn't go to the Facebook page, it's an alien snuggling up to a woman.
To a human.
To a human cute lady. It's really lovely.
All disturbed. All disturbed. And we've also got, yes, Charlene Harris. We're going to be playing an excerpt of an interview we had with her earlier in the week. And, of course, she's very well known for the Sookie Stackhouse series of adventures, which was made into the True Blood TV show that most people probably know of. Yeah.
And we'll also be playing an interview that Sonia did with Colin and Cameron Cairns. Now, who are these guys, Sonia? Who's Colin and Cameron?
Well, they're actually brothers. They're from Melbourne originally, and they have their debut feature featuring at the Melbourne International Film Festival in Melbourne, of course, and it's called 100 Bloody Acres, and it certainly is bloody.
So it's a gore movie?
It's pretty gory. Black humour with a lot of blood, a lot of bruising and mulching, but I don't want to give too much away.
A little bit of mulching. A little bit of mulch.
A little blood of bone. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Great movie, and I had to have a chat to the boys earlier in the week, and we'll be playing that later on in the show.
That's coming up later in the evening. And I've chosen a couple of really good movies to talk about tonight. One of them being Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. This is a really popular movie.
Is it because you're thinking Christmas in July or something?
I don't know. I was just, what's Santa doing on Mars? Like, he has to do something for the rest of the year.
I guess. It is a bit dry there, I suppose.
I think we should introduce Emma to the studio, and let's talk about her for a little bit.
Yep, sure. Okay, Emma, who are you? Why are you here? You're specifically being chosen by us because you are an alien expert.
Yes, that's right.
Alien fiction, I'd say, and movies and so forth.
Yeah. So at the moment, I'm just finishing up my PhD at Swinburne University in Hawthorne. And I look at popular culture and fans with a specific focus on science fiction and fantasy kind of text. So I'm really interested in, you know, all these kinds of movies and texts and aliens and, you know, the kind of how we represent our relationships with them through movies. So it's something that I'm really interested in. And I'm very excited to have a chat about it.
That's great. We've had you on the show before, sort of, by telephone for Joss Whedon's Woman a few weeks ago.
Yes, that's right.
Well, a few months ago now.
Yeah.
So cool. It's good to have you here in the flesh.
Yes.
In the studio.
In the studio.
In the studio.
Live.
For yep. sure.
So if anyone has a favourite alien film.
Yes.
Alien Invasion.
So yeah, tell us your favourite films. What's yours, Sonia? What? Come on, tell me what's your favourite film.
Well, you play We Came in Peace, which of course is from one of my favourite Tim Burton all-time favourites, and that is Mars Attacks. I just
yes.
love those Mars Martians. Attack. But then there's the serious flip side, the dark side of Alien Invasion, which I love. And you have to, for me, you have to go back to the Cold War era to something like Invasion of the Saucer Men or This Island Earth from 1955, one of the earlier type of genre films. And of course, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I was about to say, I think that was my first alien film. Like,
yeah,
I saw it, it was on like a late night. I mean, I wasn't alive then, but it was like a late night movie, kind of horror movie thing. And I used to do this, watch this late night movies.
Don't fall asleep. And don't fall asleep.
Is that the one where they come down and kind of take it from the graves? Like,
They basically, I don't know if they call it kidnapping, but they explain it. Emma, you probably explain a lot better than me.
Well, I've seen the original one. I actually haven't seen the remake, but in the original one, I believe it, they kind of, do they put their bodies into pods or something?
Yeah, they germinate. Like, I don't know what happens to the original people, though.
I think they kind of become like zombies. They're just sort of walking around with no...
And they have a zipper or type of thing at the back?
Oh, yes, that's right. Like they have like a little switch or a cord or a plug or something.
It's very weird. It's 1956. Yes. Kevin McCarthy, who unfortunately died a couple of years back only, you know, he's just phenomenal in it, and he's switched on as well because he knows that there are these aliens invading. His girlfriend's being alienized, hasn't she? Or alienated.
Yes.
And,
yes.
In a way, she ended up in the garden patch. So, great film.
I don't know if that's actually the one that I was thinking of.
Okay.
But I don't know. It was one where like they come down and take like these people's bodies or like bring the dead back to life, and then these zombies would be walking around. And it was like a black and white. It was like 1950s film. That's why I can't really put my finger. I might Google it later.
There's so many from that era.
They used to do.
Sorry?
Maybe The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. But this is a really well-known kind of movie. The E.T. We're going to go to the track from E.T. And this is the E.T. theme here on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of. And we dream such frightening things. Sci-Fi and Squeam. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
You're here on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And tonight, for anyone who just tuned in, we are talking about aliens and us here on Earth and them out there.
Here in Joy. It's a bit like being an alien sometimes.
In the outside space. And in the studio with us tonight, we have Emma Beddoes.
Hello.
Hello. And so I think I should just get straight into it. I was looking at some really great kind of movies from
great.
The 1950s. I think we should start from the bottom and make our way up. Like, it's probably the best. I'm going to start off with Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It's a 1964 fiction film that regularly appears on lists of the worst films ever made. The film took on newfound fame in the 1990s after becoming featured on the episode of the comedy series Mystery Science Trailer Theater 3000. It became a holiday staple on the Comedy Central cable channel in the years following its 1991 premiere. It has since found new life again in the 2000s decade, having been rifled through the cinematic Titanic. The movie was also featured on the current run of Elvira's movie MacBurr.
Ooh,
what's that word?
Macabre.
Macabre.
Elvira's awesome.
I love Elvira.
Wow. We've got messages.
Oh, we've got a message.
Yeah, we've got three. I loved E.T., but I cried heaps when he almost died. That's a spoiler from Jerry at the front desk. Thank you, Jerry. And from Larissa and Footscray. Fantastic theme. She loved that one. So evocative. With the theremin.
I love Footscray.
You love Pheromone too. Earth Girls Are Easy. Oh, that is a fantastic film. Is that the one with Gina Davis, I believe, and Jeff Goldblum?
I thought that was just someone being insulting. But
sure.
That's okay.
Well, they're not that easy, actually. Being an alien, I can vouch for that. John Carter. Ooh, Not so sure about that. District 9, fantastic. Yeah. And that's from Shane.
District Terrific. 9 is a really good movie, Shane. Good fantastic. Work. That is. And the theremin. Thank you for someone who knows the theremin. That was Over the Rainbow, played on the theremin. Like,
yeah, you'll never play it again on the show. Trust me.
Hands up anyone who wants to hear the trailer to Santa Claus Conquers Mars.
Is it optional?
No, of course not. This is Santa Conquers Mars.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Santa sets up a fantastic automatic toy factory on Mars. The Martian leader battles the wicked Vodar in a desperate effort to save Santa. The wise man of Mars, 900 years old. The battle of the toys, when Martian kids and Earth kids join Santa to battle the bad guys of Mars. For real space-age fun, you'll be out of this world when... Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
That's enough. Take it off. I'm dying here.
I love the music.
Yeah, it's kind of a Hawaiian beach party kind of vibe beach going boys. On.
It kind of fits with the Batman theme from last
Maybe
last
the
week.
Same composer. You never know.
So that's 1967 Batman.
1964.
Santa.
Santa and Batman on Mars. Sounds
on
good.
The Martians So basically the Martians kidnap Santa. So that the Martian kids can get some toys,
I
guess.
That's not right. Get them into capitalism. Good work.
And then Santa fights back after creating this toy factory on Mars. And the costumes are great. There's like a man, like this man with like a mustache. For like
we'll have to put
the
it on
Martian
the Facebook
thing.
Page.
I need to find a picture of the Martian man. And Sonia was like screaming in her seat.
I was just loving it.
Not really happy.
No, not
with
really.
That. In a few minutes, we're going to the Charlene Harris interview. Mm-hmm. But before that, Emma, is there a favourite Alien movie?
I think in terms of the older, you know, sci-fi movies, I love Forbidden Planet. It's a classic.
And
it's based on William Shakespeare's The Tempest. Is that right?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Sonia, you're so smart.
You're so smart for this time of the night at almost 10:20. I can't believe it. Yes, no, it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, it's one of those things.
What was
yeah.
Forbidden Planet about again?
The Tempest. Just told you.
Yeah, Forbidden Planet, if I think I'm thinking of the right one, is where they land on a planet and there is this guy there with his daughter.
Yeah, it's
and
weird.
They have yeah, it's a little
it's
bit
a
creepy
bit
and
weird.
I don't sort of want to say what happens because there's sort of a twist at the end. Just I don't want to give anything away in case no one's seen it, but there's this sort of entity, this sort of outline of an entity that keeps kind
yeah,
of
it's kind of
attacking or
very
doing
early,
something.
Yeah. Very early special effects, but quite effective.
Yes.
And the colours are awesome and it's got some awesome pheromone.
Oh, you know I like that.
Like, you really have to look it up sometime, Mitch. And I believe that the couple that actually did the soundtrack to that never got credited when the film came out. It was
really
very strange because they were French or something. Oh. And then years later, they did. And I just love the outfits as well. Great outfits.
Yes.
Great
yeah.
props and settings and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have another? Do you have another?
Well, as I was, I think I mentioned to you earlier, the Alien franchise, the Ridley Scott's Alien, particularly the first two, Alien and Aliens, I think are my favourite, all-time favourite sci-fi films. I absolutely love them. And they're definitely a bit, I think, darker. You know, because there's a bit of a debate over whether they're science fiction or horror to a certain extent. Mm. So they're really quite dark. But I just think, especially Alien, it's just incredible for the time that was made, what they were able to do. And it sort of just creates such a sense of
so
dread and
many films
fear and
have been like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Duplicates almost.
Yeah, and the Brilliant. Aliens themselves are quite amazing and terrifying. Mm.
They set the benchmark for creepies.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. And the female hero is
hot.
Love Ripley.
A wonderful
Well,
Ripley,
she is
Scorny
wonderful.
Weaver.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, on a lighter subject.
Well, it's not that light, but we've got Charlene.
We've got Charlene Harris here on Sci-Fi and Scream. Thank you very much, Sonia.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Charlene Harris.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
That's great.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
And so it's great to talk to you. And you were here for the wonderful True Blood 2, A Second Bite.
Yes, yes. There'll be lots of FaceTime there, lots of opportunities to meet and greet and have your picture made, have your autograph, anybody wants my autograph, and do questions and answers, which I think is so much fun. I think it's a more personal event.
Charlene, most people know you as being the author, the very prolific author of something called True Blood, the Sookie Stackhouse series of books.
Yes, that's my claim to fame.
That is a claim to fame. And you've had a very busy career to date so far. But I guess for a lot of listeners, because they love the True Blood television series, that inspired you to write books specifically about vampires.
Well, the books are not actually about vampires. They're about Sookie. Vampires are sort of an adjunct to that. I was really facing a crisis in my career. I wrote conventional mysteries for many years, and they were not doing that well. They were doing okay, but every writer wants to make the leap from okay to bestseller. And I started thinking, why don't I just write the book I always wanted to write, a book that kind of crosses genres and blends them together. It seemed like fun to me, and I had to hope that it would be fun for other people also.
Yes, I mean, you're right. It is pretty much about the protagonist, Sookie, and her life. Now, when you were starting to write them, was there any horror genre writers that also influenced you?
Well, I had read some horror, not a lot. H.P. Lovecraft, of course.
Yeah.
And some science fiction writers who bordered on horror also. There wasn't really anybody doing cross-genre stuff when I started out except Laurel K. Hamilton. And that was about it. So it turned out we were kind of in the vanguard of a field that's really burgeoned since then.
Oh, I believe that you did start with ghosts. That was quite a strong influence. Ghost stories. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I've always been interested in ghost stories and ghostly sightings, and I really started out reading a lot of ghost stories, including classic British ghost stories, of course. I've always been interested in trying to represent the supernatural in my books as part of life.
And I think I've read somewhere that the Harper Connolly mysteries with the release of Gravesite, that was in, 2005, I think?
That sounds right.
Yeah. That seems to be a little bit more of what maybe your earlier sort of interests with the ghosts and side of things. Is it true that that might become a series at some point, Gravesite?
A television series, yes. It got optioned by CBS.
Mm-hmm.
That fell through. Now it's optioned by Sci-Fi, which would be a natural fit, I would think. And we'll just have to see where it goes. I don't believe in it till I see it on the screen, frankly.
Yeah, which brings me to talking about the series, the Sookie Stackhouse stories made into the True Blood TV series on HBO. What was that like when you found out these people were pretty serious about bringing it to the screen?
Well, of course, it was exciting, but I had other offers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So his Alan Ball's offer was just one among several. But, of course, it was the most attractive because such a star, you know, I love what he's done otherwise.
Yes.
And it seemed like he's another Southern guy. We had some conversations, and I felt like he understood what I was doing with the books.
Look, since 2008, it's had such a great impact, I think.
Well, certainly the show departs from the books in many key places. The more seasons the show lasts, the further it deviates from the story of the books, which is fine with me.
A lot of our listeners are gay and lesbian and trans and very excited about a series that comes along on television of True Blood and the characters that you also have in your book. Was that a concerted effort to be inclusive like that with that sort of sexuality and diversity?
Yes.
When you were writing? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I think there are certainly big lesbian and gay communities in pockets in the South, just as there are in the North. The South is in the Bible Belt, and there are a lot of fundamentalists who will never concede that alternate sexualities are just a part of life. But I thought when I was writing the books, I would just make a new universe where it was okay to be what you were.
Do you see same-sex marriage and marriage equality? Do you see that as an important part of what you've written? I mean, you have inspired people.
It's certainly a large part of what I think is right for the country, our country, and I think everywhere. I think it's important that lesbian and gay and transgender people be able to marry whom they want to marry legally. That's an absolute belief of mine.
Charlene Harris, thank you.
No, you're so welcome. This is Charlene Harris talking on Sci-Fi and Squeam at Joy 94.9.
It's Sci-Fi and Squeam, Jim, but not as we know it. On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Tuesday night from 10 p.m.
On Joy 94.9.
Come in, Houston. Come in, Canberra.
Canberra.
That was War of the Worlds. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. That was the 1978 album when they used to do theme albums in the 70s. War of the Worlds. The Martians are coming. Or they arrived.
Now, thinking of arriving.
Nothing,
actually.
Nothing's arriving.
Wait, I hear something.
Oh, what's that from, I wonder?
Something arriving. I get the feeling it sounds like something's arriving.
Something teleporting.
Sounds like something's transporting almost.
Pixelating.
We're getting closer, brainstorming.
Warmer.
So for anyone who's just tuned in, we are talking about aliens and us. We're halfway through the show and it's been a pretty epic. We've got a couple of trailers coming up later in the evening. And we've got a second interview, and that is with Colin and Cameron Cairns. So what can you tell me about War of the Worlds?
War of the Worlds.
It was such a... I have the vinyl, actually. The vinyl.
With the awesome illustrations. And
with
the awesome...
With a lot of music like what we just heard.
Well, there was a 2005 movie that was another version with Tom Cruise. We didn't like that much,
I didn't
did we?
Like
you
it.
Didn't like it?
Did why we like it?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Emma?
Look, I thought it was okay. Why didn't you guys like it? Because there's a lot of, I feel like,
Tom
negative
Cruise.
Feeling. Yeah, exactly, I was about to say, because of Tom Cruise.
Mainly, yes.
I didn't like it. Not really because of Tom Cruise, but because just the feel. It kind of lost that really classic feel of the original movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was so serious. And I mean, like, the first one was serious, but you can watch it and it's... For us now, we're like, that's so funny.
I really love the beginning of the 2005 version, though. I really like the start of it, where you've got what's happening to the city, what's happening to the people around them in the buildings. And I've immediately got goosebumps and thought of September 11 with the dust on their faces. And that was an allusion to that. And
that's really
quite scary.
I guess that's the thing. A lot of the remakes that they do now are a lot more serious because you were saying, Mitch, you look back at the ones from the 50s and they were made during a different time. There was a different kind of culture, you know, so everything feels a bit lighter and...
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
Or like, you know...
Cheap.
Well, yeah, it's a lot
like
cheaper.
Like Plan 9 from outer space.
But the same is, you know, like from War of the Worlds 2005, they didn't have the same artwork, you know, the same kind of... feel towards media then either. Like the cover work, the music, they didn't have a soundtrack like that, that's for sure.
Definitely.
And let's just face it, you just love that 1978 version.
Enough of this.
Move on.
Now we're going to the interview with Colin and Cameron Cairns. Thanks to Sonia. And when did you do this interview?
Can't remember. Oh, it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday, actually. Sorry.
It feels like it was just
It feels
yesterday.
Like a week ago, but yeah, just yesterday.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
So welcome to the show, Colin and Cameron Cairns.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us.
And you are both the writers and directors of something called 100 Bloody Acres, a 2012 Aussie-made film, and it's going to be playing at the Melbourne International Film Festival here in Melbourne, obviously. The first session, I believe, is this Saturday. So are you guys going to be in town for that?
We're just buzzing. We're, you know, we can't wait for that. I mean, it's our world premiere in our hometown, which is fantastic. Yeah, we can't wait for it to happen. You know, in fact, I think there are three screenings all up, but and we'll be at all of them.
Fantastic. Now, can you tell us a little bit about, firstly, the premise of the film, just briefly?
Cameron, you go. You're really good.
Oh, God, we hate doing this.
It's tricky, isn't it?
100 Bloody Acres is about two brothers, Reg and Lindsay Morgan, who run a struggling
blood and bone fertiliser business. Times have been tough, so they've had to resort to using a special ingredient in their blend, which has proved quite effective, and that being like human cadavers, bush victims and grave robbing. But never actually put live humans through the mincer until this day, when they come across three youngsters who are heading off to a music festival out in the bush. So we basically pick it up from there, and then as the film unwinds, we kind of deal with the brothers' ethical dilemma of going through with the act, but also our sort of, I guess, our main character, Reg, the younger, dimmer of the two brothers, he forms a bit of an attachment to one of their captives, which sort of tests his mettle. But needless to say, everything sort of spirals out of control. Plenty of guts and gore and a joke in Act 3.
Story that any Australian small business operator can relate to, you know, to kill or not to kill when it comes to...
These are difficult times with the recession and particularly for small businesses, and I think politicians need to see this film.
Yes.
Now, the great thing is you guys are part of, well, you won a competition. What can you tell us about that? And this helped with the funding and the whole start of the film, did it not?
Yeah, well, we're lucky enough with this script to have received a bit of development funding, you know, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years through Screen Australia and Film Victoria. And, yeah, we submitted the script to a pretty good screenwriting contest in the States with the Slam Dance people. They run a festival.
Oh, yes, cool.
And, yeah, we were fortunate enough to win the horror thriller category in that competition. Fortuitous timing that, you know, helped get the ball rolling.
I guess the storyline, and because you won the horror category, is that your passion? Does horror inspire you? Is that why you chose that type of genre?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're both massive horror fans. You know, we grew up with horror. We're basically, you know, we're of the VHS generation. Well, we just lived and breathed that stuff growing up. Love of horror was always going to find its way into whatever we do.
I must admit, it also has an echoing of Australian family values.
Yeah.
But kind of alternate ones that may not be considered appropriate.
I think I know what you might be referring to.
I'm referring to Angus Sampson, the actor, and who plays the older brother, who's very, well, I guess you would say he is, got some psychotic issues there, some tendencies. Yeah. But what's this obsession with country folk, country Victoria? Are you guys from the country originally, or you just hate the country?
Not at all. We neither hate it or love it. I don't know. I think we're fascinated by it, and we're fascinated by its people, customs, and those old sort of family country values. There's something in that idea that I think is worth subverting.
We are celebrating some of those old-fashioned values.
And Reg is played wonderfully by Damon Herriman. He is amazing. His face is like... when he smiles.
Yeah.
Psychotically with blood all over it. I don't want to get too much away, but just a really warm, you really warm to the character, even though what he's doing is basically wrong. Our listeners, about your relationship?
Yeah, very passionate about it. Early days of drafting the script, we would just go on these big hikes throughout the country, just jump in the car and cruise around the hills.
It is a hilarious black and bloody comedy for sure. Does Rebecca Gibney know anything about this film?
Yes, she does.
She's aware of...
She was a real sport about it.
Phew, that's lucky. Special effects and makeup effects, just quickly. There's some real rippers in this film that I loved. And again, maybe I am giving it away, but the whole torso mulching effect.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
We were very lucky to have a fellow by the name of Justin Dix and his team.
Oh, yeah.
Wicked of Oz do all the prosthetic effects, and you know, and to do such a brilliant job on a very tight budget.
Finally, what's next for the film after it premieres internationally here at the Melbourne International Film Festival? Where to for 100 Bloody Acres?
You know, hopefully it'll play a few more festivals. Hopscotch are our local distributor, and
cool.
At the moment, just in the short term, looking forward to some Myth and seeing what the response is there, and hopefully it gets a bit of buzz and, you know, one or two people talk about it.
So 100 Bloody Acres, first screening's this Saturday, the 4th of August, 6:30 p.m. And then we've got another screening Friday the 10th, so the week after that, a late session, which will be really fun, at 11:30. Yeah. And then the final one is in the afternoon. Well, that's lovely. Maybe they can get some country tour buses to come in for that one, and that's Saturday the 18th. Brothers from Melbourne, brothers together in arms, and without giving too much away, you've got to see 100 Bloody Acres. Thank you.
Thanks, Sonia.
Are you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Aliens and Us.
Aliens and Us indeed. I think maybe I should go back to talking about 1950s. This is another one of my picks.
Mm-hmm.
Invasion of the Saucer Men from 1957. It's a really kind of funny film. I think it's a light comedy. A spaceship lands in the woods. A teenage couple, Johnny and Joan, driving down Lover's Lane without headlights, accidentally run down one of the aliens. A drunken opportunist comes across the alien corpse. He plans to keep the body in his fridge, but the aliens arrive and kill him by injecting alcohol into his veins via their hypodermic fingernails. And having reported their close encounter to the police, Johnny and Joan return to the sheriff, only to find Joe's body in place with an alien.
Ooh.
So the aliens swap his body around. The police plan to charge them with manslaughter, and meanwhile, the dead alien's hand detaches itself, grows an eye, and runs amok.
Naturally.
Interesting enough, this film was released in conjunction with, it was a double biller in 1957 with horror film I Was a Teenage Werewolf. Great movies in the 50s.
I know. Yeah. I would have actually really liked the poster to go too. See this.
Yeah. Look at their bug-eyed alien. They're the real. If you've seen, obviously, Mars Attacks, Tim Burton's Mars Attacks,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty similar looking, except they've got cat's eyes.
The little green men kind of look.
Yeah, with the huge head, massive brain. What's that all about?
I love that. I actually, and you know, they're just so pale.
You like a man with brains? Or an alien?
They've all got things that I don't. Anyway. And so, yeah, the dead alien's hand becomes alive somehow. I think we should actually just go to the trailer and listen for yourself. Let me know what you guys think.
Ooh.
And this is Invasion of the Saucer Men here on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Hello, police headquarters. This is Carter, Johnny Carter.
Oh, sure, they're from another planet.
What a dilemma for young lovers Steve Terrell and Gloria Castile.
You thought I was kidding.
Nobody will believe the invasion of the saucer men. All this makes it seem natural for a beer-drinking bull to appoint himself chaperone of Lover's Lane.
Hey, for Pete's sake!
And a farmer with the longest shotgun you've ever seen plays the villain.
What's so funny?
Well, I expected to be frightened on my wedding night, but nothing like this.
It's our busy night, too. We've been flooded with calls from people who say they've seen flying saucers and little green monsters. Wonder how that rumor ever got started.
It's too fantastic to believe.
Just think of it. Only this special unit and the President of the United States will know what happened here tonight.
Oh, dear. On her wedding night, saucer men came.
The farmer with the shotgun.
Very
the
long
big
one.
Shotgun to become the villain. Like, this is, that's, I don't know, I found
think
that
we've
great.
Had enough of that.
Too much of that one.
Too much of that.
So where should we head for after this?
There's no movie that even tops that. No, there isn't. But we should ask Emma something about something called Con 9. From Outer Space.
Yes.
You were at that recently. What was it?
Yes. Con 9 from Outer Space was a fan convention that we held mm-hmm. in Richmond. It was on July 14th and 15th. And it's based on the golden era of sci-fi. So obviously based on, you know, we got the title from Plan 9 from Outer Space. And the idea was that it was a con that was kind of run like the old ones used to be. So there was lots of panels where people could actually just talk to each other about things that they're really interested in and meet people that were interested in the same thing and see lots of amazing displays and props and all sorts of cool stuff.
Cool.
And yeah, it was just really, really good. A really good way for people who loved that era to actually get together and enjoy it together. Ooh. And we were really pleased with how it went.
Crazy fool.
That sounds actually really good. Exciting. Like, I would actually really be interested to see that.
It's the first one, so they're hoping to have another?
Well, we're not sure. I can't say anything officially about that. But people who came on the weekend were definitely really interested. We got a lot of feedback from people saying that, you know, when's the next one going to be? You know, when are you guys going to have another one? So there was a lot of feedback and pressure for another. But I'm not sure. We haven't really decided yet whether or not we're going to do that.
Oh, you must let us know and we will. Come back on and with Darren and the organisers.
Yeah.
I would go. I would go to that.
Yeah.
I would want to go to there. Like,
well, the first
I want
one was great.
Yeah.
So did you watch any old movies? Like,
We did.
To do that?
Or? Well, we did actually. On the, I think it was the first night, the Saturday night, we had a special surprise movie screening. So no one knew what the movie was going to be. And at about... I think it was about 8 o'clock. Everyone just got together in this one panel room.
Yeah.
The lights all went down. Everyone's like, what is it going to be? And they played The Blob. So it was a great classic. And it was just wonderful. Everyone sitting together in this like cinema kind of setup, watching this old movie on a big projector.
So the original Blob from 58 was Steve McQueen.
Yes.
I love that. And so did you run out of the cinema screaming?
I was tempted to.
Because The Blob's in the cinema. And
yes. No, I do. Oh, I do love The Blob.
I don't understand where The Blob actually came from. Like, was it an experiment
gone wrong?
I'm not sure.
It's an alien, I know.
I thought it was an alien as well,
I don't know how it happened.
Didn't it come from a meteorite? I think I remember a meteorite and it came out, but that might be a remake.
Yeah, that does sound familiar, actually.
Yeah. So
Steve McQueen's there to warn everybody, and just as well.
Yes.
This big blob is coming at us.
Yes.
It moves so fast. But people are moving so slow, and they're all screaming and standing around being hysterical. They should run.
That seems to happen a lot in those old sci-fi movies. People are just standing there screaming while this thing's moving really slow.
They want the blob to come.
Yeah.
They secretly, back in the days it was the Depression, so they weren't in a hurry to not die.
They wore heels to the movies. Yeah.
Yep.
They wore a lot of heels.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Plan 9 from Outer Space, I think. Ed Wood, I love.
Yes.
I love that movie because it is so bad. Everything is on the cheap. It's the lowest budget you could imagine. And even there's a scene in a gravesite, if no one's seen this film, there's a scene in the gravesite where the actual headstones are made of cardboard and they're they fall over. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be stone, but they just get knocked over by the actors who can't act.
Yep.
It's awesome. And Vampyra's in that.
Yes.
Who's like the original Elvira.
Yes, the original.
I know Vampyra. That's amazing.
You have to see it, Mitch. I'll need it too.
You have to see it.
Yes, please. Yeah.
I think one of the things that's really interesting about that movie is I think
it's Grave
Ed
Robbers
Wood...
from Outer Space originally.
Yes.
That was the title. Grave Robbers
you're
from
right,
Outer Space.
Actually. We had the original, one of the original scripts or something at the con.
Wow, really?
But I think Ed Wood actually was not trying to make something
funny
and silly.
Art.
He was actually quite serious about it, and it's ended up being this really hilarious.
It's one of the top Turkey Award films. They call it.
Was this
worst
the one
film of all time?
Where the dead come to life? Because this might have been the one I was talking about earlier in the night. The first one I saw.
Well, they take the bodies and reanimate them, so it's sort of like zombie.
It's more zombie. So that was the one you
that
saw.
That was it. Yeah, that's. I didn't have to Google that at all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wiki Sonia.
The search engine. I'm going to talk about some of the cutesy wootsy aliens we have. Not like ET, obviously. ET Extraterrestrial, which came out back in '82. Spielberg, one of his very early ones, where he showed how well he worked with children. As far as teaching them and, you know, supporting them in acting and cute drama.
Yeah, it's I love those alien films where the alien is, you know, relatable and right from the beginning you're sort of, you know, you're on the alien's team. You want them to get home or you want
phone
them to
home.
Be safe. Yeah, exactly. You want them to phone home. And also, you know, obviously Drew Barrymore's, you know, one of her first, I don't know if it was her first, but one of her first films, and, you know, even at that age, she was amazing. ET's, a great movie, a classic, I think.
Wonderful. But then we jump, obviously, to 2011, and we've got Steven Spielberg producing a movie that's pretty similar, but it's not. It's quite darker. It's called Super 8. J.J. Abrams, probably best known for producing and creating Lost on television and Cloverfield in the movies, and, of course, the Star Trek reboot in 2009. But Here we've got Super 8. Yeah, what did you think of that?
I loved it. I loved it. And I agree with you that it's a lot darker, but then in some ways it has kind of a similar feel to it, where you've got this like group of kids who are, you know, discovering, you know, something about an alien, and they're kind of... the kids are the ones in the know, and the adults don't necessarily know exactly what's happening, and they have a greater level of contact with the alien. And it's really, I like
the alien again is trying to get home, like E.T. It's trying to get home by stealing or appropriating electrical, you know, gadgets and items. And only the kids seem to be the ones who are switched on to this, and it's just fascinating.
It's like seeing the story through innocent eyes, and they're not kind of tainted by political or economic motives. It's just through these innocent eyes, you know, seeing this alien that just wants to get home.
They're pretty serious kids, though.
Well, they are. Pretty, you know. They are.
And I love it because it's set in the 80s and everything is like absolutely perfect as far as interiors and props and stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
great
you're
film.
Right.
So this is Aliens here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, Joy 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Little alien, was it a little alien from Men in Black or
that was from that? Space Invaders.
Oh, cool. Waka 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 waka. Love those little devils.
Do you like my interpretation of it?
No. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam. We've been looking at and, having a brief look at some of the alien invasion movies from Cold War era to more recent times. And we've had Emma Beddoes in the studio, which has been great.
Yes, it has been.
Thank you, Emma.
You're welcome.
Come back on.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely come back on.
I will.
Because there's plenty more we can discuss, I'm
sure.
Absolutely. Now, before we do head off into the...
Abyss of the night.
Into another galaxy, perhaps. Now, great news. Warner Brothers has announced today, actually, news flash if you don't already know, Peter Jackson's long-awaited filmed adaptation of The Hobbit is now going to be a triple whammy. It's going to be a trilogy, so triplets are coming. So New Line Cinema, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios and Warner Bros. Pictures have announced the third film in the Hobbit trilogy. That was announced today in Burbank, California. Peter Jackson making the third of the upcoming adaptation of J.R.R. Tolkien's enduringly popular masterpiece. So great news. Don't know what the dates are yet. We will be expecting them all to be out, but probably by the end of the century. I mean, decade.
Should I wear a Hobbit costume?
Big feet and a second breakfast, please.
Oh!
And next week, what's happening, Mitch?
Next week, it's Night Shift. Night Shift. And that will be reviews and things like that are from the Melbourne Film Festival? No.
International Film Festival.
International Film Festival.
So also known as MIFF. And there's a heap of great genre films out. There's so many. There's 100 Bloody Acres, which with the Cairns brothers. There's... there's just a lot. There's Maniac, which is a remake of the 1980 classic slasher nasty horror film, but I'm sure it's all very tasteful. And it actually stars a hobbit, interestingly enough.
Oh, is that intentional or is it just the actor?
I think he's trying to...
Hobbit?
No, I think he's trying to,
Diversify.
Know, diversify from being
really
such
good.
A nice person.
That's really, really
a
good.
Maniac. What else?
I also want to thank anyone who messaged in.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully you enjoyed the show, our little discussion about aliens and humans. I'd really like to play the trailer, but I can't. I've got one more trailer.
Have you? Is it a shorty?
No.
Obviously
no.
Not. Well, the other thing is our shows do get podcasted, usually 24 hours later. So you can always head to www.joy.org.au to find the links to the podcast there. And we've got 124 of them coming up on that page. And also you can go to our Facebook page to let us know what you think of the show and maybe even some suggestions or whatever.
Yes, if you have any interests or anything, you can even look at all the amazing pictures Sonia and I post on the Facebook page.
Oh, that was you that posted that one tonight.
I did, the last one.
The cuddly alien.
So you can also find our contact details on joy.org.au and go to the program listing.
And Emma, anything else you want to add?
You have 30 seconds.
Oh, I don't think so. I'd be happy to come back and talk some more alien talk.
Please do.
I will.
Thank you for listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.